Hey, hey, hey. Somebody asked me if I was going to ride a donkey. I hadn't found one I can get a hold of that I can ride, so I figured I'd lead him in here. So here's what's interesting about today. You remember Jesus rode the donkey through the city of Jerusalem. He was a donkey that nobody had ever sat on. Now, if you try to get on this donkey, same like me, it wouldn't be pretty. But Jesus, being the master of every situation, rode an unbroke colt through the city of Jerusalem. Does anybody here want to come get on this one? I didn't think so. So here's what's interesting. Jesus came on a donkey the first time. Do you know why? Because when the kings, back in the day, when we had kings, they would ride a donkey through the streets of Jerusalem during times of peace. Jesus rode the donkey because he wants to make peace with you. Isn't that great? That God wants you to have peace, and he is the peacemaker. But when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, I just want everybody to know, he's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to be riding a white horse. And I just want everybody to know that he's coming back on a white horse. He came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but he's going to come back on a horse that symbolizes war, because he is going to finally kill the enemy, the last enemy, which is death. And it will be over, because there will be no more death, no more dying, no more pain for those who have accepted him as their personal Savior. He will do away with sin. He'll do away with death. And what's great about it is that, do you have any problems today? Do you know why you have problems? It's because sin came into this world. I hope somebody's listening. For everybody that's like, oh, I like my sin. Don't you be touching my sin. I just enjoy doing my thing. Well, sin is so deceiving that it comes like it's your friend. But the end, you know what it brings? It brings death to you. And that is the final enemy of God. So he came on a donkey. I'm going to come over here closer so everybody can see. Come on, baby. He came on a donkey because he wanted to have peace with everybody. But he's going to come back on a white horse, because he's going to give each and every one of us, as he has, he's given each and every one of us the opportunity to accept him and to be forgiven. Is there anybody here that's been forgiven of your sins? Anybody here like... You're like, yeah, that's like, thank God, because he came on a donkey so he could make peace with man. How did we get here today? It's a good question. How did we get here today on, what is it, March the 31st? Because yesterday was my lovely bride's birthday, March the 30th. Happy birthday, Darla. But here we are, March the 31st, 2024. Did you know from the very beginning of time, God knew that on an Easter Sunday morning, on the 31st of March, 2024, that somebody would show up at a cowboy church in Montgomery, Texas, where they were having church in the arena, and they were going to worship him? And he said, I am going to go to the cross so that these people might have forgiveness of their sin, because I love them that much. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves you that much? So the question is, the piercing question to me is, how did we get here? How did we get here? There's a verse in Scripture that says, in the last days, that evil will be great, and that there will be a great falling away. Has anybody noticed that in our culture today, that there's a lot of people that don't really like God? There's a lot of people in our culture today that don't really want to follow Jesus. So how did we get here? The Bible says, in the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, y'all remember that, right? Reading it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So Satan himself, Lucifer, he was an angel that God created, a created being in heaven. And Jesus said this. He said, this is so cool. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. God kicked Satan out of heaven. Why? Why did he do that? This is important. Because he rebelled against God. God's not going to put up with rebellion. Now, I know. Everybody here looks like, just looking at you, you look like a really, really good Christian. Every single cotton-picking one of y'all. You're like, you're just like, you look holy to me. But we know that we all have sin issues. I'm going to wait on you a minute. I said, we know. My name's Randy Weaver. I have sin issues. I had to have somebody to come in peace so that I could have peace. Is there anybody here you're grateful for the peace that you have? Because it's more valuable than anything you can put in a bank. It's more valuable than the savings in your stock market fund. You cannot buy peace. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't get to heaven by being good. We get to heaven because Jesus is good. So Satan fell like lightning. He didn't like God. He rebelled against God. And then it says that God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve in the garden. So in the garden, it's perfect. Everything's perfect. No sin, no problems. Everything's cool. But God told him something. He said, from the tree of knowledge of and good and evil, don't eat the fruit from that tree. Y'all remember that? He said, don't eat that. It's kind of like, anybody got kids, when you tell them not to do something, the first thing they do is go do it. Adam and Eve, they go over that tree and they start looking at it. And then the devil shows up and he's like, hey, the day you eat that fruit, the reason God does, he lies to you all the time. Anybody know that the devil's always lying to you? He said, the day if you eat of that fruit, you'll become as God. And that's the reason God doesn't want you to have that fruit, because you'll become like him. And they're like, oh, good. Give me some of that. And it brought death to them. Why? Because the same problem with Satan in heaven was the same problem with Adam and Eve. When they ate from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, sin entered this earth. And we are a product of Adam and Eve's sin. Because they sinned, we have sin in our lives. So the question comes up in my mind, why didn't God just not put that tree in that garden? Inquiring minds want to know. Why did he, like, if you were God, would you put that tree in the garden? If he knew, because God knows everything, right? I have a theory, and it's just my theory. But I think that God wanted that tree in the garden because he wanted people to worship him because they wanted to, not because they had to. If there was no tree in the garden, they would have had no choice. So today, what's cool about Jesus is we all have a choice. God is not controlling. He is not intimidating, and he is not manipulating. He lets each one of us make a choice. So what happened? Adam and Eve chose What'd they choose? Death. Oh, by the way, we're talking about the resurrection this morning. The resurrection from, in order for there to be a resurrection, something's got to die. Adam and Eve. So God's like, hey, you can't stay in the garden. How many knows there's consequences to your sin? Raise your hand if you found that out already. Like if you haven't found that out, we got altars up there in that church for you. So God kicks him out of the garden. But God's mercy and God's grace, he still makes a way. And the scripture says this, it says at just the right time, God sent forth his son. Now look here. Have you ever thought about the conversation that the Father had with the Son? When they were in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father was talking to Jesus. Because Jesus in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, and he's coming back on a white horse, by the way. And the Word will be in his mouth, because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I imagine that God the Father had a conversation with God the Son, and he said, Jesus, we got some people down there that just don't get it. Y'all with me? And if you think that you get it, this sermon is for you. Because we don't get it. We don't understand that kind of love. The Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his only begotten Son down to this earth, born of a virgin. The God that was born of a virgin that knew no sin, he came and he lived on this earth to let us know how good God is. How many knows that God is a good God? How many knows that God is a loving and a giving God? So the scripture puts it this way. It says at just the right time, God sent his son. How many knows that God is never early and he's never late, but he's always right on time. So he sent his only begotten son. He came down and he showed us how to live. He showed us how to love. He healed people. He raised the dead. He showed us that he had power over death. We're talking about the resurrection. He had power over death. I'm going to go with that one. Everybody in there, everybody ever wonder what the true religion is? We're going to go with the one who has power over death. I don't think there's another religion out there that serves the God that... all them other guys that they talk about, they're all still in the ground, but Jesus on the third day rose from the grave. So Jesus, he comes, he shows us how to live. He loves like nobody has ever experienced that kind of love before. He had power over the wind, the waves, and he lived his life. We have the whole scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who tells us all about the life of Jesus. Such a beautiful, beautiful story. And then the scripture says what we just got through celebrating this past week was the last week of Jesus' life. And on last Sunday, on Passover Sunday, he rode the unbroken colt through the city of Jerusalem. Passover, what is Passover? That was when the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians. How many knows that God doesn't want his people to live in bondage? And so under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that we have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible with what? Liberty and, what's that second word? Justice for all. Liberty and justice for all. See, that's why Jesus came, so we could have liberty and justice. We could have the freedom to accept Jesus, or we could have the freedom not to accept him. It's not like he's going to make us accept him. Y'all with me? Don't you like that? He put the tree in the garden. Hey, I got life for you. And then when the children of Israel in bondage to the Egyptians, God had a message for the Pharaoh. And this is important for our life. The message to the Pharaoh was this. Four words. I just had to count them. Let my people go. The same message that God gave to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh is the same message that he's given to Satan today. Let my people go. Let them go. Let them have freedom. Let them have liberty. Let them have justice. Let them have my love, because I died for these people and I love them. And you have to take your hand off of my people, because I have given them eternal life. Woo! I'm telling you, that just, it eats on, that's so good. So Jesus, it's interesting, this last Friday was, everybody calls it Good Friday, the Friday that Jesus hung on the cross. Anybody ever notice that? Well, it wasn't good for him, but it was good for us. The Bible says that they whipped him with what they call the cat of nine tails that had bones and metal shards and glass, and they whipped him 49 times. They spit on him. They ridiculed him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And everybody, a lot of people say, man, why did he let him do that? He must have just really been weak. He didn't do it because he was weak. He did it because he was strong. I dare say nobody here that went through that could endure that and still love somebody. So he went through this before he hung on the cross, and he died as the Passover. The children of Israel, remember the Passover? They put the blood over the doorpost. That's the Passover lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. The Lamb of God that brings the peace, that rode the donkey in times of peace. The Lamb of God that makes a way so that you and I can come into his presence. The Lamb of God who brought liberty and justice for all. The Lamb of God who didn't just talk about love, but he actually showed us how he loved. He gave his life on a cruel, rugged cross so that we could have redemption. What are we talking about, redemption? Redemption is when you owe a debt that you can't pay. Anybody ever been in debt before? Y'all looking like, anybody in debt right now? Don't you wish somebody to pay your credit card off? So here's the debt that we owed. We owed the debt of sin, and we are the ones that deserved the death that Jesus had. Because without the shedding of blood, you can't have redemption. There's no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus, as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth, one day will come back as the Lion of Judah on a war horse to put a final end to death. So here he was. He gave his life on the cross so that we could have access to him. When several years back we had a dog that, she was a good dog, but she ran off one day. And we couldn't find her. And we got a call from the dog pound because she had a little tag on her. And they said, is this your dog? And we said, I think so, because we lost her. They said, well, you need to come and get her. We go down to their dog pound. Do you know what we had to do? We had to pay them $50 to get our own dog back. Now, the dog's name was Katie. Katie didn't have the ability to pay her debt. The dog didn't have no money. So we go down to the dog pound, and they said, well, let's see if that's your dog. And we went down. You know how they are in doggy jail. It's kind of like prison. You go through each one. They're all looking like you. We went over down there, and Katie's sitting there, and we walk up to the front of it, and she's like, she was not having fun in doggy jail. We paid them the $50, took her home. Why'd we do that? She didn't have the ability to pay it. She couldn't do it. Did anybody hear what I'm saying? None of us here have the ability to pay for our own transgressions, for our own sins. And we are in the prison of death and the grave. And we've invited eternal death because of the sin in our lives. Because the scripture says we've all sinned, right? We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But at just the right time, God sent forth his son so that we could have eternal life. And redemption means we redeemed Katie from the doggy jail, and Jesus redeemed us from eternal death. So whenever he rose from the grave, after they buried him, and oh, by the way, he had a borrowed tomb. The reason he borrowed it, because we'd only need it for 3 days. And when he rose from the dead, he was seen by about 500 people. And when he ascended into heaven, the angel came and said, why do you stand here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go away will come back in like manner or the same way that you've seen him go. So the next event for in the time frame of this world and this life is the rapture of the church. And Jesus will come back for his church. For y'all, the ones who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, the next event will be the rapture of the church. The Bible says that the trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for this mortal nature will put on immortality. This perishable nature will put on imperishable. For when this mortal puts on immortality and this perishable puts on imperishable, then shall come to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Listen to this. This is what it says. It says, the sting of death is sin. How do we not know that? The sting of death is sin, and the power that sin has is eternal. But thanks be to God, the Father, who gives us a victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get the victory through Jesus because of his sacrifice, because he got us out of people jail and prison for sinning. The victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, brothers, sisters, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because in the Lord, the things that we do for the kingdom of God, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. I don't want to labor in vain anymore. Anything and everything I do, I don't care if I'm in this arena, roping steers, I want to do it for the glory of God. I want to praise God with my life and with my words and with my actions, everything that I do, because who I am who I am because he is who he is. let me tell you something. You wouldn't like me if I didn't have Jesus in me. You wouldn't like me. But because of Jesus. So what's going to happen when the church is raptured? There's going to be people who are left here who've not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And the Bible says that there will be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's found in the book of Revelation. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there will be an Antichrist who sets himself up as a leader for the world. So there will be a one world leader, a one world government, a one world money system. How many knows that we're moving rapidly toward a cashless society? Everybody and their dog's got a credit card. A lot of people don't even carry cash anymore because we don't have to. And what they're going to do, they're going to set it up so that you have to buy and sell. You have to be able to go through the government to buy and sell. It'll be a one world money system. In the first 3.5 years, everybody's going to buy into it, because how many knows that there's a lot of deception? During COVID, they wouldn't even let us have church. They can run, our governments can run this world. And if you don't believe that, we have to open our eyes to that. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is bigger than anything man can create. He's bigger than all this. And we don't have to walk in fear. We can walk in excitement and in anticipation. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 that God will grant the Antichrist he'll give him a temporary crown. He puts it this way, a temporary crown, so that he can rule over the world. And everybody's going to look at him and say, man, he's good. You know why? He's going to come back. He's going to let the Antichrist come back on a white horse. And everybody will be deceived that don't know better. And when the Antichrist comes back, everybody's going to follow him. And then the destruction and the terrible consequences of the book of Revelation are going to come on this world. It's going to come on this planet. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And I'm thankful that the church will have already been raptured and won't have to go through that, because we are the bride of Christ and God's going to take care of his bride. Amen. So you move on from Revelation chapter 6 where the Antichrist takes over, and then it talks about, and I gotta get up there. I gotta read this. Y'all come take these horses. Aren't these guys good? I'm just got a white horse and a white donkey. And for all you cowboys, I know he's not really white, he's gray, but for this sake, it's the sake of an illustration, he's white. That's my roping horse right there. That's old Gus. I won $100,000 on him a couple years ago. He's a pretty good horse. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 19. It says, and now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His name is Faithful and True. Aren't you glad that God tells the truth? Everything and every promise in the Word of God is true. I think that should bring a lot of comfort to all of us. Amen. That God always tells the truth. It says, on his name was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. The reason he's going to come back on a white horse is because he's going to come back on a war horse. You don't want to be on a donkey in the middle of the war, because they can't run. And they're not going to run over anything. I could get on Gus and probably run through the middle of this whole crowd, because he's a horse. But a donkey, he's not like that. That's the reason God's going to come back on a white horse. He's going to wage war against the final enemy, which is death and sin, and he is going to win. So he said back in the day, I don't know if I told you this or not. In Deuteronomy with the children of Israel, he said, I set before you life and death. He said, hey, I'm going to put before you life and death. And then he said, choose, everybody say choose. Choose life. It's so simple, isn't it? Don't we try to complicate the kingdom of God stuff? He said, I'm going to set before you life and death. And in case you don't know the answer, I've never been a real great student. I always liked it when they had the answers in the back of the book. You with me? He said, in case you don't know it, the answer, choose life. But I will honor, God's like, I'll honor your choice. Whatever you want to do. Not everybody wants to serve God. Not everybody wants to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. Not everybody wants that. But we have to the best of our ability, help everybody to know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And above him, there is no other, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a way. He's not one of many ways. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. The way to come into the presence of the Father eternally is by accepting Christ and Christ's sacrifice so that we could have eternal life. That's what the resurrection is all about, because the resurrection changes everything. It changes everything from Genesis. It changes everything from Revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The revelation and the resurrection changes everything, because we're different people, because God is the God over death, over hell, and over the grave. He said he's called faithful and true, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Why was there many crowns? Because he is the king of all kings. He had many crowns on his head because he was the king over all of the other kings, the king of kings and the lord of lords. And he's coming back on this white horse, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Remember in John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, from the beginning, the truth, the way, and the life. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. You're going to ride a white horse. The armies of heaven, that's going to be us. The scripture teaches us. We're going to come back and we're going to fight the final battle for life with God. The battle of Armageddon is talked about in the Bible. And God will win the war over death and the grave and sin. Can you imagine what this life would be like if there was no more sin? Where we wouldn't have to have officers to take care of us in case somebody got stupid. Wouldn't it be great if there was no more sin in this world? That's the kind of a heaven that I want to go to. God has given it and made it available to follow him, or to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and of good and evil. I don't want any of that tree. All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. See, we're going to come back on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. The scripture says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God will come out of Jesus' mouth, and with his words, he will win this battle. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron, and he himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Beautiful. So what does that mean for us today? It means that we have the Savior that came on the donkey to bring peace. How valuable is peace to you today? It's the most valuable thing. I would just submit to you, the most valuable thing you can have in your life is peace with your marriage, peace with your kids, peace with your parents, peace with your coworkers, and more importantly, peace with God. Because that's how we find peace in our marriage. And peace with other people is by letting the Prince of Peace, because Jesus said, I am your peace. Oh, I just love that. I am your peace. So this morning, y'all probably heard me tell this story before, but years ago, I had a really a good calf roping horse, and this horse's picture that back in the day is a long time ago. A world champion, his name is Roy Cooper. He used to own this horse, and I wound up with the horse. It was just kind of a miracle that I got him, and I wanted to. I liked the horse and wanted to hang on to him. And I went to a retreat I was a general manager for the Fellowship of Christian Cowboys. And I went to this retreat, we're putting it on, and got this guy to come preach for us. And he got up and he started preaching, and he was preaching about the will of God. And I'm always interested in that, aren't y'all? I mean, wouldn't it be great to know what God wants for you? So when he starts preaching about the will of God, I'm like, man, I'm paying attention. I'm all about this. And he know more than God. The first words, the first sentence out of his mouth, and this horse I had, his name was L.A. And God spoke to my heart. A friend of mine, his horse had died. He broke his leg in the pasture. They had to put him down. And a friend of mine, he was entered at a rodeo in Casper, Wyoming. And I said, well, just come get L.A. and you can take him to Casper and ride him at the rodeo. Oh, so he come and got him. He was at Casper Rodeo and while I was at the retreat. And then after this guy's talking about hearing the voice of God and what the will of God is, God speaks to my heart. He says, Randy, I want you to give L.A. to Mike. And I'm like, what? I didn't want to do that. And I don't know if the preacher ever, you ever been in a service where you didn't like what the preacher was saying? And don't raise your hand. And maybe you was like me. I didn't like it so much, I got up and left. And I was in charge of it. I didn't want to hear it. And I went back to my cabin and I sat in the corner and I argued with God. Anybody ever argue with God, raise your hand and make me feel better. Anybody ever argue with God? I argue with God like, I don't want to do that. He said, Randy, do you remember when you got L.A. and you prayed over him and you said, Lord, I dedicate this horse to you, just like we did our kids. Anybody do that with your kids? You dedicate them to the Lord. He said, do you remember when you dedicated that horse to me and you thanked me for letting him come into your life so you could use him? I said, yes, sir, I remember that. He said, whose horse is he? I said, he's your horse, Lord. And I was reminded of that little saying, you've all heard it. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Y'all remember that saying? And I was reminded that he is the Lord of my life. I said, it was a long time later, but make a long story short, I finally gave in. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And he said, and I told him, I said, well, but I said, I think I do deserve to know why we got to do this. So I like, and he said, Randy, he said, I have a message for Mike and Kathy. Kathy lost her sister, and there was a whole story behind this. But he said, I have a message for Mike and Kathy. He said, and I've chose you, Randy, I've chose you to take that message to them. I want you to speak on my behalf to them. I said, okay. He said, when you hand that lead rope to Mike, you tell him that I'm a loving and a giving God. Somebody in this room needs to hear this. Because a lot of people, they think, well, how could God, like all of the judgment and revelation, the justice that comes through the book of Revelation, how could a loving God do all that stuff? My question to you is, how can we live the way we live and not appreciate Jesus loving us the way he loves us? I would love to be able to love the way that Jesus loves. Jesus loved us so much and gave us this opportunity to fall in love with him and to make him the Lord of our lives. But if we're not careful, we will just take that for granted like the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to go against the current of this world. The world that you and I live in is not the world that is blessed by God. Somebody's got to stand up for the kingdom of God. Somebody's got to stand up for the risen Savior. Somebody has to stand up for God. And I come to ask you today, will you stand up for the kingdom of God? Will you live for the one who died for you? That's the challenge this morning. He is a loving and a giving God. He came on the donkey so that we could have peace with him. But he is also coming back to take back this world that he created. And he'll do it the way he wants to do it. Why? Because he is God and we're not. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, that you made a way so that we could come into your presence, so that we could live eternally with you. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. This morning, the greatest privilege that we have with God is to have our sins forgiven, because sin brings forth death. He came so that we could have life and choose that life. But it's a choice that we make. Each one of us is individuals. Nobody makes this choice for us. So this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, I want you to know something. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. This is not a perfect church. They don't make perfect churches because people are, we're going to mess them up. But Jesus was the perfect one. So this morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, maybe if you have, but you really haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart and I need to make him the Lord of my life. I love Jesus and I want to love him more. And I want God to know that I want to accept him as my Savior and as my King. Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in it. Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. Don't be ashamed. It's the greatest thing that you'll ever do in your life. It's the greatest decision. Back in the bleachers, wherever you're at, slip your hand up high. Anybody? Yep, thank you, partner. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Anybody? Yep, over there. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Leave your hand up high so our ushers can see it. You want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. It's the privilege of having peace with God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Right here. Yeah. Leave your hand up, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. My dad accepted Jesus as his personal Savior on Easter Sunday, and I thought this morning, where would I be if my dad wouldn't have asked Jesus to come into his heart? We probably wouldn't even have this church. I probably wouldn't even be a Christian if it wasn't for Easter Sunday morning. I'm thankful. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Anybody else? Everybody that raised your hands, I'm going to invite you to come up here. I want to pray with you. Come on. Anybody, preacher, that's me. Everybody that raised your hand, all you kids, anybody. Yep, come on. You get it right, buddy. We're going to get it right. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Bless you. Bless you, girl. I'm so proud of you. Bless you. Bless your heart, girl. Look at you. Yep, thank you. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Man, look at you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Yep, 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 yep. Anybody else? Preacher, this is me. It's your greatest gift. Anybody else? Hey, look here. This is... Following Jesus is... simple, but it's not easy. Does that make sense? It's simple, but it's not easy. He said that it's so simple that we confess with our mouth. He says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. This is like eternity talking. Forever. And it does take maintenance. We got to take care of things along the way. It's not like we just walk down and ask Jesus to come in our hearts and go live like the devil for the rest of our lives. It's not like that. It's a lifestyle. But God helps us. It's not like you're perfect once you accept Christ. That's not the deal. But the deal is that you're going to follow Jesus now in your heart. You're going to make decisions. What I want to do, I want to help y'all confess with your mouth. But you have to believe in your heart. Can we do that? Okay, let's pray. Y'all help us pray. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, look here. This was the freedom that you all experienced. This is freedom. So we're free now to follow Jesus. Sin isn't our master no more. Y'all with me? Sin doesn't master us anymore because that brings death to us. So when you sin, you run to God and say, Lord, please forgive me. And begin this process of getting to know Jesus better. Can y'all do that? Yeah, I'm so proud for you. Thank you. Listen, go visit with these folks over here for just a second. Proud of you, man. Don't look back. I love you. So proud of you. Bless you. Bless you, buddy. Thank you. Love you. Stand with me, please. So I've got a question for you before you leave. Hey, we're not done yet. Hold fire. Everybody wants to get out of the parking lot. Hold fire. I got a question for you. Is there any area of your life that you have invited death? Yeah, you're a Christian, but you've got an area of your life that you have put a crack in the door because sin brings death. Y'all with me? I mean, I've been preaching about that all day. Sin brings death. So is there anybody that you would, you say, preacher, there's a, I put a crack in my door and I've let sin come in one way or another in my life. And I need prayer myself because there's times that I sin and I'm the preacher. I have got to have help. And you have to have help. We can't do this on our own. We have to have help. So this morning, I want to pray for you. If you need help to shut that door to sin in your life, I want you to raise both hands because I want to pray for you. Let's all raise our hands because we all need this. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to follow you closely. I pray, oh Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to recognize the sin in our lives and to recognize it as the thing that brings death to us and help us to follow you closely in everything we do. I pray that, Lord, for everybody walking out right now, too. And I pray, Lord, bless them as well. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. We love y'all. God bless you. We've got church next Sunday morning. We've got our prayer team up here.